I want to welcome our visitors. I hope you enjoy the service and that you find it as a blessing to your life. I would also ask at this time for everyone to please check, make sure your cell phones are silenced, and to take the red booklets at the end of each pew and register your attendance. I've said this before, probably not often enough, but just know that when you fill it out, that doesn't mean you're going to get a call or a visit. It does mean that we know you're here. So, you know, if you want a call or a visit, check that that's what you want, because we certainly don't want to miss out on a chance to speak to you if you're a visitor and you want to have contact. But otherwise, we just need to know that you're here and keep records of our attendance each Sunday. Today will be our day to feed the people at the Randy Sam shelter, and I got word that what is going to happen today, because if you haven't kept up with the weather, we're supposed to have inclement weather come in around 4 or so. In fact, and I don't say this to scare you, but I found it interesting this morning on the Weather Channel, there was a reporter up in Tulsa, and he said, well, probably later on today, we're going to go down to Texarkana, that's the way he said it, Texarkana, to look at some tornadoes. I'm like, really? You're going to put that out there? So just know bad weather's coming. Therefore, the folks who are serving at Randy Sam's, which I think are the youth, they're going to stay after church, get everything prepared, and just take it over to them and say, when it's time, warm it up, instead of having the youth out in that kind of weather and anyone else. It's just not worth it to get someone into really bad weather. So if you're a part of the Randy Sam's experience and you want to be a part today, just know they'll be staying after church to get everything ready and just take it on over to them. Also, cabinet meeting will be tomorrow, Monday, at 6 p.m. in the community room. And the packets are at the back of the sanctuary, so if you need a packet about what's going to happen in cabinet, please be sure and pick one up. The events committee will meet Tuesday, April 29th at 5 p.m. in the community room. And the youth will meet at 5:30 Wednesday. The choir meets 5:30 Wednesday. Then the Thursday evening worship service will be May the 1st at 6 p.m. in Disciple Hall. That's this Thursday. And it's true, we're already getting into May. I mean, we're almost halfway through this year. Where did it go? That's amazing. Christian Family Week begins May the 4th, which is next Sunday. We will have a covered dish luncheon immediately after worship. Please bring the food listed for A through L, a meat, and if your last name starts with M through Z, veggies, salad, and dessert. This is a great time. We've had a very good success every year with this, and we want you to bring your family from out of town, from all around. All of you come, be a part of this, bring pictures of your family, the history of your family. You can bring grandparents, great-grandparents, pictures, and, of course, of yourself. And we'll have tables set up for you so that you can show everyone what a wonderful family you have. Cowhorn Creek service will also be next Sunday at 2 p.m. And a reminder that the PATS list forms are still in the back if you need to pick one up and fill it out. It's very important. You can fill that out and put it in the offering plate or whatever you would like to do so that we have information on emergency numbers should you ever have an emergency and need help. We'll know who to contact. Now, I'm tired. Any other announcements? Anything I left out? Please stand and greet one another in Christ's name.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Be still before the mystery of life, before your Creator who made it, before Jesus who said that life was life. No, before Jesus who said that he was life, before the Spirit who breathes life into all of us, before life as we see it in God's good world.
Gracious God, let us look to you, the gift of life, and grant to our brothers insight into the world of hearts.
With praise and thanksgiving, we open our lives to you. Please stand for the hymn of praise.
Sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive.
Spirit God, in the beginning you gave life and movement, color and harmony to the universe. Everything moves by your power and is one through you. But most of all, you move in the mind and spirits of women and men. You give vision, insight, speaking spirit to spirit. You stir the silent conscience, rouse the dormant mind to seek justice, express beauty, and declare truth. Most of all, you come in the power of Jesus, bringing love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, faithful, gentleness, and self-control. So move us now in mind and conscience, stir and quicken us in beauty and truth, and give us all your harvest now and always. And please join with me. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated, please, and let the children come forward for the children's moment. Little Jimmy, will you come? Little Troy, you can come too if you want. I didn't want you to get lonely.
Okay.
I know it's scary for you. You're kind of reserved. Troy's more outgoing. Yeah. You do that. Great, guys. Oh, look. And little Midge. I would invite all God's children, but we don't have room. But if you want to join and you find a spot, you're welcome to be with us. We're going to talk about something that's going to be in our scripture today, and it's about Thomas. I don't know if you know the story of Thomas, but I'll ask you this. When you were in school, what was the first thing your teacher did when you came in? When the class was all together?
Good morning.
Good morning. Did she take the roll?
Yes.
Yes. She would take the roll to make sure that you were there, right? And why would she do that?
Because we were important to her.
You were important to her. And the other reason might be?
The government needed money.
The government needed money. All right. That's what happens when you get the older kids. We get into government issues. All right. But another reason is if she knows who isn't there, she'll know who needs to get their homework and be updated on what happened in the class, right? Not that y'all ever missed, apparently. But take the roll so you know who's missing, and then when that person, whether they're out for their illness or whatever, they get their homework so they'll know what to do. Now, having said that, in our scripture today, there's a very similar situation. All of the disciples are together. The doors are locked, except Thomas isn't in there. And Jesus comes in spite of the door being locked. And Jesus talks to him. And Jesus, you know, they say, "My Lord and my God," and they're all excited because Jesus is there. And then Jesus leaves, and Thomas comes, and what happens? The disciples say, "While you were absent, we want you to know that the Lord came." And Thomas said, "Don't believe it." And said, "Yeah, he was here. We talked to him. I won't believe it until I see the nail prints in his hands, put my finger in the holes, and touch his side. I'm not going to believe it." Have you ever doubted something?
Sure.
You wanted proof? Okay, well, that's what Thomas wanted. So once again, all the doors are locked. Thomas is there this time, and there's Jesus. And Jesus goes to Thomas and says, "Look, put your finger in there and touch my side." Thomas didn't need to do that. Thomas just fell to his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." Just seeing him was enough. He didn't even have to do all the things that he said he was going to have to do. So in your life, there's times that you doubt and you want to see proof. But what is it called if you believe and you don't see?
Faith.
Faith. And that's what we're really looking at, is Thomas's faith was lacking. And Jesus said, "How great it is for those who don't see and yet believe." And that would be us. We weren't there physically, but we believe. And so our lesson today for you, as you go back to your seats, is to think about how important faith is in our lives, and especially when it comes to our Lord. Because the truth is, upon our belief, and even when we don't, our Lord walks with us every day. And he says, "Oh, if only you believed, if you have any doubts." Or he may be walking along saying, "You're one of those who has great faith." Whatever the case, Jesus will never abandon us. He's always with us. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your Son, and we give you thanks for faith and the ability to believe without seeing. Be in our hearts and in our minds always, that we may know what you would have us to do, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.
Is Sweet Hour of Prayer, 570 in your hymnals, verses 1 and 3.
Me at my Father.
Let us pray. God, we come to you today in the name of your Son. We want to thank you for your amazing grace that saved us, that changed our lives and brought us into your eternal kingdom. And while that is wonderful, we know we cannot live in the past. The yesterdays were wonderful, but this is today, and we need your amazing grace every day. We need it today because we live in a fast-paced world, and each day has its challenges, and we don't know what a day will bring forth. But we do know your grace is always sufficient, and we rejoice in that. By your grace, we can do things we never thought possible, and we can reach heights we never thought we could reach. So, today, we give you thanks and we glorify your matchless name. Lord, when we contemplate the events of the past weeks in the world, our minds are troubled. The missing flight, MH370, the sunken ferry, Sewell, and the continual killings in many places around the world are terrible. Your word tells us you so loved the world you gave your only Son to save us. We pray that you be with all the families who have suffered loss to bring your comforting and healing spirit to their hearts and to their minds. We pray for our president and vice president and the cabinet members that face these and other situations. We pray for all the men and women in government. We pray for all those in the courts of the land. We need you in the affairs of our nation, and that's what we pray for today and every day. We pray for our church and our special needs right here among us today. You know us, Lord, individually and collectively. You look into our hearts and minds, and you understand where we stand before you right now. Please help us, each one, as we lift up our hearts and our needs. We ask for your special touch and for the assurance we need from you. You do hear and answer our prayers, and we know as we reach out to you, you're already reaching out to us. We pray for all our church leaders as they continue their great work to expand and improve the ministries of our church. Not as they wish, but as you wish us to do. Be with each one this day as we celebrate yet another Sunday of the resurrection of your Son. May he enter our lives. May he dwell in our hearts. For we pray all this in his name. Amen.
Communion hymn is What Wondrous Love Is This, number 201, 2, and 4 this time. I'll try to get it right.
As we've come together and we share in this meal, I'd like for us to be thinking about the story of Doubting Thomas. If we spend our lives doubting, then we have very little faith. But if we share in this meal and we take that faith, then we will be able to say that we are shining on, we are moving on in the light of our Lord. Our elders pray.
Lord God, thank you for this day and the many blessings that you give us. Thank you for the perfect Lamb that came and died for us, that we could live with you in heaven. Be with each one of us each and every day as we leave this building to proclaim the name of Jesus to all and to know that you are our God and that you love us very much.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to once again come around your table and celebrate that great sacrifice that your Son made for us that gives us our hope for an eternal life with you. Let us be ever mindful when we drink this cup of the blood shed, the great sacrifice of death that Jesus did for each and every one of us, that we might be able to be with you one day and that we can take his glory and go out from these walls to proclaim them to the world. Now let us each one remember these things as we partake these sacraments and go forth from here to share that gospel of your good name to the world abroad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Following our theme of doubting Thomas, please never doubt that it is your time, your talent, and your money that keeps the ministries of this church going. It's not possible without you, whether it be you physically or whether it be you prayerfully or whatever way you support. We need that support to keep the ministries of Jesus Christ alive in our community. So as we take our offering, keep in mind that it's not just for us, but for future generations. Let us have the giving and receiving of our offering. Gracious God, we give you all praise, and we ask that you be with us, that we may go forward in your ministries with these gifts, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thought for me he cares.
Today's scripture reading is from John 20, 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you, Angela, for the reading. I also want to welcome Carolyn McReynolds, who's joined us and plays the piano for us, and beautiful music. Thank you so much for being here. Now, after all the big buildup about doubting Thomas, we're not going to talk about that much. Historically, this passage of Scripture that was just read by Angela, is the focus of the sermons are on the doubting Thomas account, which is definitely a very important thing to learn. It's a good teaching. Faith is believing in that which we do not see, and I think most of us know that. And that is something we want to get the word out on. But I believe there is something of equal value that is often overlooked or misinterpreted. Have you ever known someone who is forever and always miserable? No matter what, they're never going to be happy. They're just not. These are people who always have something on their hearts and minds that bring them down, whether real or imagined. These are people who may say, I've played the lottery for years and never won. I'm just not a lucky person. God does not favor me. Then you see their picture in the paper where they win the lottery and they win $10 million. Yet when you see them again, they're sulky and depressed. What's wrong, you say? You won the lottery just as you've always wanted. And they respond, "Yeah, but it wasn't as much as I'd hoped for." There's always going to be something that is not enough for these folks. Or it's like the man who came into the kitchen for breakfast, looked at his plate to see that he had scrambled eggs on it. Then he says to his wife, "I didn't want my eggs scrambled. I wanted them sunny side up." Next morning he comes in, sits down, looks at his plate, and there in front of him are sunny side up eggs. And he says to his wife, "Why is my egg sunny side up? I wanted them scrambled." The next morning he comes in, sits down, looks at his plate, and there in front of him is a sunny side up egg and a scrambled egg. Looks at his wife, has a frown. She says, "What's wrong now?" And he said, "You scrambled the wrong one." We have people in this world who are exactly like that. It doesn't matter what you do, they're going to find a reason to be unhappy. It's just the way they're made. Have you known people who have become unhappy in the church and leave? Anybody? Then they come back, then they leave, then they come back, and this cycle goes on and on, each time they're unhappy. It may remind you of the child who says, either play my way or I'll pick up my toys and leave. Always being unhappy, holding grudges, being angry, whether it's someone or life in general, is destructive. Not necessarily to those you are angry with, but to yourself. If you spend your life unhappy, it is a scientific fact it will take your health down. Doctors from Coral Gables, Florida, compared the efficiency of the heart's pumping action in 18 men with coronary artery disease to 9 healthy controls. Each of the study participants underwent 1 physical stress test, riding an exercise bicycle, and 3 mental stress tests, doing math problems in their heads, recalling a recent incident that had made them very angry, and giving a short speech to defend themselves against a hypothetical charge of shoplifting. Using sophisticated X-ray techniques, the doctors took pictures of the subjects' hearts in action during these tests. For all the subjects, anger reduced the amount of blood that was pumped by the heart to the body tissues more than the other test. But this was especially true for those who had heart disease. Why anger is so much more potent than fear or mental stress is anybody's guess. But until we see more research on this subject, it couldn't hurt to count to 10 before you blow your stack. Theologian Frederick Buechner said, of the 7 deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll your tongue, the prospect of bitter confrontations to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you're wolfing down is yourself. When you stay unhappy, you stay angry, you're never pleased, you're eating yourself up. And all too often we feel like we're getting someone else. The skeleton at the feast is you. Hear these words from our Lord to his disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now many people read this and they think, oh well, if the disciples are unhappy with them, Jesus is going to be unhappy with them. That's not what this means. It's what we might want to believe, but it's not true. Based on what we know about anger, revenge, being unforgiven, as taught by our Lord, maybe we should take this view of these words. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, it will eat you alive. Therefore, be forgiving. Jesus was and is very aware of what anger, holding people's sins against them, can do. Keep in mind that Jesus was the lineage of David. He was also intimately familiar with Scripture. Therefore, he, better than anyone, knew the story of Absalom. The Old Testament tells the story of Absalom, the son of David, the greatest king. Through a series of circumstances, Absalom began to despise his father and made plans to become king in his father's place. He sowed seeds of division and rebellion in his father's kingdom. In the beginning, he did things that did not seem to be a danger, but he was winning the hearts of the people of Israel. The day came when he saw an opportunity and openly led a rebellion against his father David in an attempt to take over his kingdom. David's greatest fear was that Absalom would be destroyed in the battle, which is what eventually happened. When word came that Absalom had been killed, far from being happy about it, in 2 Samuel 18:33, we hear, the king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom. My son Absalom. If only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son. David's heart was not to destroy his son, but to save his son, even if it meant dying in his place, in spite of how angry Absalom became with him. In spite of that, Absalom wanted to be king, and the ironic thing is David may have eventually made him king. David was not his enemy, he was his father. He loved him in spite of his rebellion, but Absalom became so incredibly angry with his father because Absalom wanted what he wanted, and he wanted it now. And he wasn't willing to wait. And he held his anger toward his father in his heart, and it destroyed him, as it does all of us. Remember these words from our scripture this morning. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Our Lord wants our hearts and minds to be at peace. Remove fear and anger and replace it with love and forgiveness. A rabbi and soap maker who went for a walk together, the soap maker had some negative things to say about forgiveness as they were walking. "What good is forgiveness? Just look around you. What do you see? Trouble, misery, wars. Even after all these years and years of preaching and teaching about goodness, truth, peace, and forgiveness, what good is it with all its prayers and sermons if all this hate and anger still exist?" The rabbi kept quiet as they continued their walk. Then they noticed a child playing in the gutter. The child was filthy with dirt and mud. The rabbi said to the soap maker, "Look at this child. You say soap makes people clean, but what good is it? With all the soap in the world, this child is still dirty. What good is soap after all?" And the soap maker immediately answered, "But Rabbi, soap can't do its job if it isn't used." "That's exactly right," said the rabbi. "And so it is with forgiveness. It will not accomplish anything unless people use it." It is true that we see bad things going on all around us and all around the world. It is true that we humans are generally speaking and being self-destructive. But does this mean that love and forgiveness don't work? Or is it the case that we don't use it often enough? Perhaps those who are angry, destructive, and unhappy have never felt the healing balm of forgiveness. Perhaps too many Christians retain the sins of those around them, constantly being unhappy, constantly looking for a reason to leave the church because, you know, it's just not going the way I think it should. Perhaps the problem is we need to be more of the community of faith than an individual of faith. "He or she who is without sin cast the first stone." Let us not be self-destructive, but self-constructive through living as the Master calls us to do. And that's what Jesus called the disciples to do when he came into the room that day with the doors closed. Even willing to say, "Here, touch this. It's real. Forgiveness is real. Peace is real. But you have to actively work toward it." We can't sit back and wait for these things to happen. And let me bring another note. I talk to people in counseling and throughout the church, not just this church, but churches for 30-some-odd years, and I hear people say, "I haven't forgiven them because they won't forgive me." Is that right? Are we not willing as Christians to be the first to forgive? Should we not be the first to forgive? That is the blame game. It's their fault that I'm not doing right. We need to step up and take responsibility. We're the ones responsible for our actions. We're responsible for the ones for our attitudes. We're the ones responsible for our anger. and we're the only ones who can take that out of our hearts and our minds. So Jesus comes among them, and he says, "Peace be with you, because that's what I want for you. Peace." Let us pray. Gracious God, coming before you this day, we know that oftentimes our hearts and minds hold on to things that they shouldn't. And we ask that you enter our hearts and minds in a way in which we can let go of past angers and disappointments, that we can turn from unhappy people to happy people, knowing that each day is a gift. Each day is another opportunity to serve you. Each day is an opportunity to be the first to forgive and to love, that we may be examples to others. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Our invitational hymn is hymn number 601, "I Am Thine, O Lord." We are going to sing verses 1 and 4. I would ask that if there are any who would like to join the church by profession of faith or transfer of letter, that you come forward as we sing. Let us stand. Again, thank you, Carolyn, for being here and playing. Choir, beautiful anthem. Thank you. Love the way you sing. And as always, thank you for blessing my Sunday with your presence. Let us go forth with a benediction. And now may God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit enter your hearts and your minds, that you may be at peace. Amen.